All right, great. So how do you feel that the show is on DVD?
I think it's wonderful. I'm a big fan of Shaftmaster. The other titles they put out, the classic TV and recent TV. I've used some of their titles as potential viewing, like the satirical Mary Hartman, which a whole generation of Boston has never seen or maybe heard of. And so I think that's great that they put that out as what Speaks to Geeks and other kind of TV potential. And it's a wonderful, it's the best of both worlds to have it come out in DVD or have it come out in a company that you're a personal fan of. I mean, I have the Blu-ray of the Vincent Price collection, and watching Dr. Price's Blu-ray was a wonderful thing to do on Christmas Day. Seeing Vincent Price is a serial killer in high definition is the perfect way to spend the holidays. But they're wonderful partners to work with, and very good people. The producer of the DVD, everything is Brian Blum, a terrific guy. And also, my friend and mentor, Mel Brooks, has a box set out on Shaftmaster. And so that's also kind of that kind of gives me pause, because I was a young kid who snuck on the set of Young Frankenstein, and then I have a TV show on the same label as Mel Brooks. So that's kind of an interesting journey for a former ASP kid.
Absolutely. I was going to ask you about that. I mean, that story is an amazing one, and a lot of people haven't heard it. Could you just mind telling us, like, your frame of mind sneaking onto the set and then, I mean, befriending, you know, Marty Feldman? How did that all happen?
Well, you just said a lot of people haven't heard it, yet you just said it. You know it well. So what, do you tap my phone? It's kind of an urban legend. There's a book by Robert Ross, the biography of Marty Feldman, where it goes in there in depth and everything like that. But, I mean, it was, just in a nutshell, I was a latchkey kid. I was drawn to certain comedy. Get Smart was my favorite show. And, I read an article in the LA Times about Young Frankenstein being shot there in Hollywood. And I saw the photo of Marty Feldman, who was a huge fan of, and got in the buzz and took a Hail Mary pass and was able to get on the set. And Mel was very cool, because I think any other director, first of all, you couldn't do that today because studio security after 9/11 is everything's clamped down. They check all the cars and everything like that. They check cars driving on the studio lot for bombs. They do. They did for a while. They don't realize in Hollywood studios release bombs. They put them out. They don't put them out. But any other director would have kicked me off the set, but Mel let me stay. And I was stupid, too, because I was very, very young. I think I went up to him at one point and said, excuse me, are you busy? He's directing the movie. But Marty Feldman was a common genius, and he really was the nicest person I'd ever met in Hollywood. He greatly missed. So that was an interesting, experience. When I look at Young Frankenstein, it's almost like looking at a home movie. And that's on Blu-ray, too. And part of the strange journey of this town and getting older is, when Sledgehammer was released very successfully on DVD, I mean, when I did the show, I thought it would go off and be forgotten, and the syndication and the pulp field. So to me, it was a big deal to have it come out in Laserdisc. So it's very fascinating to see your work coming out in format that didn't exist back when you were doing the show. And certainly now we have streaming and all these other various unique ways the show can be seen, pioneered by technology and even piracy. That's my theory why they do so many remakes. Hollywood's way of combating piracy is to make titles that pirates already have, but we have that already. But Bullet in the Face is the biggest compliment, I guess, to me that I've gotten about it is critics and various people are saying they haven't seen anything like it before, and that it was original. And that's what you kind of want to aim for. And I think that's part of the reason that Shaftmaster was drawn to it. I mean, they specialize in pulp shows. Mm-hmm. Healthy cults, not ones where they give you Kool-Aid. It was very nice, and it was very nice to be able to do commentary all through it as well, too.
for those who haven't watched the show yet, why do you think the show is cool? What do you think works best in its favor?
Focus. I'm not really good about appraising my own work. I don't evaluate it in that way, whether it's cool or not. I don't think it's boring. I try to do something. I did this back when I did Sledgehammer, and I thought I was doing a bold mistake. I try to do something I would personally watch. And if I find it interesting, it holds my attention. I assume it will hold yours as well, too. I think it's unique in the sense that I like doing one-camera action comedy half hours. You could do mystery and violence and things in them. So little mini movies. And I like cultish TV shows. I love things that possibly do in the business. I think Bulls and Faces is visually interesting, which is unusual for a half-hour comedy to have a look at it, especially since it was done on a television budget. And I'm proud of some of the performances in there. There's a thrill to work with Eddie Izzard in particular, as well as Eric Roberts. So, I don't know. I mean, there was one review that said, you know, you often read, you've never seen anything like this before, and here's something that lives up to that. So, I mean, I'll go with that appraisal for appraising my own work. You know.
You've done a lot of work over the years. How do you want this to kind of stand up in your legacy? How do you want people to look at it?
I want them to buy it before they look at it. That's very important to it. I mean, as far as the legacy, I don't want them borrowing it from someone. Like if they borrow it from someone else, I want them to buy it as well. So they can borrow it as long as they have bought a copy. But, I don't know. Ask the question again a little bit more specifically so I can truly answer it. I think I know what you mean, but what is it? Ask that again.
Well, I just mean, you know, you have different, there's different periods in your career, you know, as a writer, as, you know, all these different hats that you've had, and how do you want this period of your career to be remembered and this show to be remembered?
As a tragic end. No. I don't know. I've worn many hats, but I only have two heads. I think the way to look at it is you kind of bookend it. You know, I did a show in 1986 that was considered offbeat, especially the envelope. And now that's about to be the routine. I mean, it wouldn't even fly Saturday morning, some of those things. And so I like the idea that with the advances and the liberties and the freedoms that were handed over the passage of time, and certainly by working in cable, I took advantage of them because I like to push things and go out there and defy authority. And take chances. Even if we fail, we try something different. What was interesting then and now is back in the day in '86, it's 86 hours. It was not this much number, by the way. So there's no coincidence to me that Roy Kimmel went on in that year. But back in the day, you had to wait a long time to get the audience response. They had to use snail mail. They had to write a letter and send it to. The fans of Sledgehammer took extra time to write the letters, so they had to cut the letters out of the newspaper. And but when Bulls in the Face, in this era, the feedback is immediate. I mean, when it first aired, you know, you went on Twitter, and you had the hashtag Bulls in the Face, and you were just flooded with responses. And even though some of the tweets were saying WTF, nevertheless, you were getting a media feedback. So it's fascinating to look at things then and now. Not just the freedom that you get and the more things that you're allowed to do, but also how the audience has changed and how they respond to things. And that, TV series used to be something that you have watched week after week over the years, but now it's something that people watch in a weekend. And you need to watch this stuff. And that's fascinating as well, too. There are a lot of people that don't watch a TV show week after week because they really want to wait until it's over so that they can watch, you know, 24 over 24 hours or something like that. I worry about anybody trying to binge watch 60 minutes, though, because I think they won't survive it. You know, they'll get away 1 year, 3 or whatever they'll pass out. But it's fascinating to look at the type of equation run in now, and speculate what it would be like, in the future.
Speaking of binge watching, I mean, you survived a 48-hour People's Court, term with Andy Kaufman, and considering all of that, the people that you've spent time with, the shows that you've written, the people that you've worked alongside, you've done a lot. So what is there that you still want to do? What's something out there that you say, I think I'd like to do that?
Probably Lindsay Lohan. I'm trying to think the to-do list. That's a good question. You know what? No one's ever asked me a question. Are you talking about in television or just in life?
No, just in life.
Probably keep doing what I'm doing. Just keep pushing the envelope and trying different things and things that don't look like anything else. A lot of people have done more than me and have certainly a lot more kid shows and things like that. But, I'm very comfortable with my canon in the fact that when I work, I do unusual things. You know what I would be drawn to, actually? I would like to do an unscripted show. I'd like to actually go into that genre and do something. Actually, I'm going to have a conversation with somebody about that because they found that fascinating. I would be interested in that. I've actually did a drama pilot and it was produced and it really adapted. And when the network saw it, they said, "Well, we thought it would be funnier." You wrote it. So I don't know. I mean, when you have other people I spend time with, people like Marty Feldman and Andy Kaufman, they're very singular and unusual, and they thought outside the box. I'd like to think that their influence on me was to not to do anything that anybody else would do. Maybe just to write and put things out there that when the people see it, they say, well, only he could do something like that, or a pleasure coming to him. That's a very, it's a very good question you ask me, and it's me because I'm not used to anybody asking me any questions that I've got.
That's all right. You did a great job on it, so don't sweat.
LP or whatever like that. You know what? I'd like to run up to Philadelphia staff. I'm serious. That's something I want to do. Have you done that?
Yes, I have actually done that. It's actually on video on Facebook, unfortunately, so I get to relive it.
Were you able to bound over a few steps at a time like he did, or did you have to do a step by step?
No, I jumped a bunch of steps. I'm a big guy, so I'm 6'4", so yeah, I was able to kind of like recreate the Rocky experience. So
did you do the dance on the top?
It's kind of a funny story because like my fiance, like she was taping it and she like lost me going up the stairs because they're pretty, they're pretty steep, and she lost me halfway through. So I'm on top jumping up and down like an idiot, and she can't find me. So
I'd like to meet Stallone. I've been in the same rooms with him a couple times. I haven't met him and shaved his hand or something like that. So I would probably like to do that. I love that movie and I like Rambo and all those sort of things. But I am new now, because that is something I'm needing to do. I want to run up the steps. I mean, I've had the Philly cheesesteak. I've had Gino's.
Nice.
And I've had the other. What's the original one? I'm blanking on the name.
Yeah, I don't remember the name either. I had Gino's as well.
Yeah, but the other Gino's wasn't as expensive. They did some other things. I still really liked it a lot.
Mm-hmm. Same here.
Well, I was upset though that Gino died of a heart attack. Whenever a fast food giant dies, you know they've been eating their food.
Man.
And so that's what terrifies me. But now I'm going to look on Google and remember what the original cheesesteak place is. Because it's in Rocky. They're singing or something fine. He walks by it. But I'm a big fan of Billy. And I envy you. And I'm going to look on YouTube for your video.
No problem, man.
I want to see how out of breath you are.
Oh, it was bad.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was pretty bad. So I'm built like Walter Perry. So William Perry, the refrigerator. So yeah, it wasn't a pretty sight. So
was he the only one there, or were there lots of people doing?
Yeah, there was people running. So I passed a couple of people, which made me feel pretty good about myself. But they caught up towards the end. So.
Oh, that's great! What a whole ritual that I saw. There's some YouTube videos of it when they showed the film outside there, when they showed it on an inflated, inflatable screen, and people were sitting on the steps watching the actual movie. I thought that was pretty amazing. So now if they did it, you would be running up CGI stairs.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what was happening. And bullet in the face, I said it in the commentary, the big shootout in the pilot went terribly wrong. And so one of the advantages of being a veteran and having done twice ever, I was able to think on our feet. And I think it's an interesting story to listen to in the commentary of how salvaged the sequence. And it actually turned out better. It was better than what I originally wrote in the movie and things like that. So,
wow.
It's fascinating to look at, then and now.
Absolutely.
And think about where we're going. I'm looking forward. I saw Samsung has this huge screen that they're putting out next year. It's a curved screen, so it looks like Cinerama in your house. And I really look forward to that. Maybe they'll build instead of a space station, they'll build a giant screen in space. And the whole world collectively can watch IMAX.
So everybody could watch the People's Court at the same time. That would be interesting.
Did you read about that from my Wikipedia?
I've done my research. So
Wikipedia is bizarre because it's like people put things on there, and somebody writes a biography for you, and if it isn't true and it's flattering, you leave it off. I heard that I was part of the rescue of Teddy, and I got people out there. I've left that on there. that is true. Andy took me through the binge watching it. He was ahead of the curve. He was in the wrestling before WWF. He was in Pipe on talk shows before Jerry Springer and everything like that. And he was into Elvis before anyone else. He defined binge watching. So, yeah, he took me through that. And now, the thankfully, Bold in the Face is 6 episodes. It's kind of easy to binge watch.
Yes.
And so, it's better on this. I will only say this to you exclusively because I like hearing your friend. It's better on DVD than watching on there because you don't have to deal with the commercial. And that's really good. You have to get to see the ending credits, which you never get to see on TV because they squeeze them into a postage stamp with other people's names. It's disgusting. And how many people really read that? I mean, how many people. Can you imagine if home goes, freeze frame, wait, enlarge that.
Yes. There's an episode of The Simpsons when Bart's working for Krusty, and they do that. They don't believe that he's working for the Krusty show. It's pretty great that they kind of made fun of that. But,
I've heard of The Simpsons. That's a live-action show.
Yeah.
I've ridden The Simpsons ride, but I believe it or not, I haven't seen the show. I don't watch a lot of TV. I only watch Shout Factory pilots.
There you go.
So, I also like the name Shout Factory because then they also Scream Factory.
Yes.
Appeals to me, they need to put out porn. I wonder what title that would be. The Moan Factory.
Yeah, the O Factory, yeah.
So, need porn is great.
So speaking of Wikipedia, my last question. You were talking about before how, Wikipedia people wrote all of these things for you, but if you could write your own Wikipedia entry and it would just be one sentence, what do you think it would say?
That everyone was shocked that he was immortal, that he's still alive. Long after. I don't know. You know what? That I didn't bore anybody, that I came up with some things that it means a lot to me that people remember Bloodsham so many years after it is and still watch it on DVD and talk about it and want to talk to me about it because I didn't conceive that happening. So, I hope Bold in the Face, thanks to Shock Factory, I hope it gets seen and gets a cult because it really attaches to doing it was a short run. And I love the ambiguous ending and everything about it. So I like coming up with cult things that people remember and don't regard as, elevated music. they pay attention to it. So I don't want to put down elevated music because, those are musicians. Something was conducting that. I try to visualize somebody like them slowing it down with a baton going, wait, something's got a shock to it. I don't know. Once again, these are very interesting questions. And I don't know. You know what? That he made it up to Philadelphia to that faster than you did without being out of breath. That's what I want to see on Wikipedia.